Okay, as I mentioned, we have Neville Friedman in the studio from Friedman, Lurie, Singh and D'Angelo. Hi, Neville.
Hello, Peter. How are you going?
Not too bad.
Hey, just about, think about that. If you turned your whippersnapper upside down and you put a, used it like a helicopter, you could fly around.
Yeah.
Instead of being on the ground, you wouldn't be committing an offence, I suppose.
Pretty powerful, aren't they? Okay. There's been quite a few sightings of these modified bikes out there. What's been happening in your world, Neville? And if you'd like to ring in, if you've got a legal question, now with the time, it'll fill up very, very quickly. You can ring in with any of your questions or queries, 9221882, and Neville Friedman will do his best to answer your questions. What's
Peter,
been happening in your world?
Just an interesting thing I found occurred a couple of days ago. There was a decision in Jersey in the United States regarding texting. Now, we all know what happens. You see it every day when you sit at the traffic lights. You can see the heads are down and they're not looking at the steering wheel. You know what's going on. Everybody's texting. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a criminal offence to do
yes,
that.
Yes, it is. I think everyone understands and realises why.
And fairly significant fines too. And never mind the fines, there are demerit points which also apply, which is not so great. But what happened in America was that there was a couple who got injured in a motor vehicle accident. They each one lost a limb, a leg, in the accident. And they sued the driver of the car who had been negligent and injured them. But they also sued his girlfriend who was texting him at the time that the accident occurred.
So let me get this right. The person in the car was sued, but also the person who texted the person driving the car.
Correct.
Because that caused that person to look at the text and then have the accident and people have lost their limbs.
And interestingly, in that particular case, the court found that the girl who was texting the guy wasn't liable for any damage to these guys, the occupants of the car.
Sure.
But they did say that if you text somebody and you know that they're likely to answer it, and there is an accident, you can be held liable. And it's caused a furor in America, but be warned for us here in Australia. And about 10 years ago, when mobile phones started becoming popular, I had a client who had a number of reps out on the road.
Uh-huh.
And he called me and he said, "What is my obligation as an employer in relation to WorkSafe and mobile phones?" And I did a little bit of research at the time. There's some high court cases in England and so on WorkSafe.
Yeah.
This is going, in fact, in the same direction. Can you imagine you have three or four staff members driving around, reps and the like, and you give them a ring because you've got a call and they're on their way and they can go off and service a client.
Mm-hmm.
And they answer that phone and an accident occurs. You can see that the employer would also potentially be liable. So the interesting question there is, do employers now, and I'd certainly recommend it, have a look at their employment contracts and ensure that systems are set up that employees are not allowed to answer or use their mobile phones, specifically work mobile phones, whilst they're on work.
Yeah, provided you've got to provide they've got the hands-free systems and the Bluetooth systems and the legal ones there. Yeah.
Look, I even have a question mark about that. Mm. We know that not paying attention to the road potentially exposes you to an accident. And so if at some stage somebody can persuade a judge, would be novel case law, but it's coming.
Yeah.
And a judge will say one day, you should have recognised the possibility that making a phone call to a person whilst they're in the car distracts them, even if it's just to switch off the phone.
Yeah.
So really the answer is you should have your phone off while you're in the car.
Right.
And then it doesn't ring. And when you get to your destination on the other end, you switch your phone on. And that is, in fact, what my previous client required his staff to do. It was a protocol in the office. Mm. When they got into the car, they had to switch the phone off, and they were only then allowed to switch it on again once they'd got to their destination. No interruptions during the trip.
It'll make a big change to the way that salespeople operate. I'm thinking of couriers, those sorts of people. They can't accept a phone call. Because in that first example that came from the United States, you're talking about, well, I was thinking, in what circumstances are you going to consider that it's likely that the person you're ringing or texting is going to look at the phone. And that is one circumstance, isn't it, with the boss-employee yes. relationship,
yep.
because you just know, oh, it's the boss ringing, I better answer
exactly.
it all. So that is one circumstance where possibly yep. things could get legal here in Australia yep. in the future.
And I suppose if their evidence was that your boyfriend or husband traditionally used the phone, despite it being illegal, but you know in your family who or your friends are likely to be, if they're driving, mm. would still answer the phone. And I think that that's the distinction that this case makes as to any others, that there was that there wasn't the requisite knowledge
yeah.
that the party was going to answer the phone
okay.
when
yeah.
the call came in.
If you've got a question for Neville, 9221882, Wayne in Port Kennedy joined us. Hi, Wayne.
G'day, hi, Neville. Hi, Peter.
How you going, Wayne?
Just a question, if I may. My mum on Sunday went to a walking club and it was in a car park, and unfortunately she, when leaving, pressed the foot on the accelerator and went into another car. Lucky that the lady has insurance, but mum hasn't got any third party. Is there a precedent? Look, this might be really clutching at straws, but I thought where in car parks there was a law that people had to pay for their own damage. The Australian road rules didn't apply, or the police didn't get involved. Is that the case, or am I out of order there?
Wayne, no, it's just not quite right. The accident which occurs on a private premises is not something that the police will get involved in, but the damage which is occasioned by somebody who, by mistake, negligently or even recklessly or deliberately, causes to another person or a car will be the responsibility of the driver. So the other driver's insurer will look to mum for payment of the damage, and if mum's insured, then her insurer should take that function over. But as you say, if she's not insured, then unfortunately she's on the hook for the damage which is being occasioned. If the person has been personally injured, in other words, if there's been injury to the other driver or a passenger, then yep. the motor vehicle insurance liability will kick in, though. So she won't have to pay for her personal injury, but certainly the damage, there's an exposure there.
No, look, I appreciate that, Neville. Thanks,
yeah, pleasure.
Peter. No worries at all. Wayne,
drive carefully.
Up next will be Antle and also Elaine. If you've got a question for Neville Friedman from Friedman Lurie, singing the Angelo, 9221882.